Well, that was unusual, huh? But it has a point. You know, it's time to get up and realize we're not perfect. The last man that was perfect left, and he's coming back. That's our hope. But it's one of the things that the title of my teaching is Love and Forgiveness, It Takes Two. And it's all about love and forgiveness. You can't love without being able to forgive, and you can't forgive without love. And each one of us have to deal with forgiveness, and we forgive one another, but I think one of the greater things that we have to do is to forgive ourselves. And there's things that have happened in our past that keep generating in our minds, because the battlefield is in the mind, that the adversary will continue to remind us. Well, remember when you screwed up there, or when you gave bad advice here, or when you failed in your marriage, or you failed in a relationship. The adversary will always try to remind you of those things. But God says in his infinite wisdom, knowing, understanding man and who we are and the adversary, that we have to love and we have to forgive. And let's start in Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to, this is the Amplified version. We are flawless, as the song said. You know, we are righteous before God. We are justified, as just as if we'd never sinned. But we are, our flesh are weak, and we have to put on the new man. And that's what the Ephesians 4 talks about, putting on the old man, who we are, putting off the old man, putting on the new. And our theme verse here is, King James says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And the Amplified says, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tenderhearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another, ready and freely, as God for in Christ forgave you. And that the standard is, as God in Christ has forgiven me, that's how I forgive. And when Jesus was teaching the disciples about forgiveness, they're very sharp and said, so how many times do we have to forgive? You know, that's the nature of man. I have my limits. Like, I'm going to only do so much. But Jesus said 70 times 7 or 490. You think about it, if we were to ask, if God said, okay, I'm going to forgive you 490 times, what do you think we'd be, where would we be here today? We'd probably be very sad, disappointed that he turned his back on us, but he can't. He can't. He has to forgive us, and his standard is, as God has forgiven you, you forgive others. But there's one person that, you know, we want to forgive each other, but the one person that we tend to forget about is our own selves. Because that's where the devil works on our minds, is that, what did you do? And in, if we look at verse 31, the verse before 32, is 32 as a conjunction and. 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, with evil intent. There's a bitterness and a anger and a evil speaking that comes when we don't forgive ourselves. It's a hurt heart, almost a numbness that we can walk around with because we don't see how much our Father loves us. And we know how much he loves us. It says his standard of forgiveness is he forgave us as far as the east is from the west. He cannot remember our sins anymore. He refuses to remember them. It's just not possible for him to remember them. But let's look at... So we have to forget those things that hold us back. If we are held back on the things that mistakes that we made, it's like putting ourselves on a timeout. And the timeout is from God. You know, you don't want to be around people. You don't want to talk to him. Because you see your mistake and you feel like, well, I just need separation. There is no separation because it's God and Christ in you. Let's look at, I'm going to skip around on my notes a little bit here. Well, that's okay. I won't. Let's look at Psalm 103. And we know these verses on how much God's forgiven us. But we have to always be reminded, and the big thing is, how much does he love us that he can forgive us so that we can forgive ourselves? But another thing is, we have to renew our minds to the truth. What the adversary says is not true. Anger, bitterness, that's not true. That's all part of the old man that's hurt. And Jesus Christ took away every sickness, every mental pressure that we could ever experience. He took it on him so that we could be free from that. Even sickness and disease. Isn't that amazing? Because if he hadn't, then we would not have been totally redeemed from Adam's sin, because there was no sickness and disease in the garden. If he hadn't been able to take that away, the devil would have still won. So we have to remember that that is not our, those are lies from the devil. And we have to remember how good the Father is. He is a Father. It's an intimate relationship. So Psalm 103:2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." So it means remember his benefits. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities," our sins, "who healeth all thy diseases." When those sins are forgiven, we have health. We're blessed. Our souls are blessed. Our minds are refreshed. We don't have to be burdened down. "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." And look at verse 11. "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." He's removed those sins, all that we've done. And most of it was because of our sin nature. It just came from Adam. It's Adam's fault. But it's time for us to change our minds to believe totally on the love that God has for us so that we can be forgiven. If God refused to remember something, God has forgotten. Stop punishing yourself for something that was done in the past. Isn't that great? Let's look at Matthew chapter 22. We're going to look at verse 37. At 36 we'll start. It says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." We are to love our neighbor as ourself. You know, you hear the terms with marriage that, you know, I know my wife knows I love her, but she doesn't like me right now. Or, you know, you can love and not like. Well, that's not the standard. We love because we love, and we like spaghetti. We don't like people in that category, right? We love unconditionally because God loved us. So we forgive in all that we do. So we're supposed to love ourselves. If you don't love yourself, how are you going to love your neighbor? We have to see that ourself isn't, I came from a big family and everything was community proper and all that. No, that's not myself. Myself is who I am in Christ. I'm a new creation. I am God's favorite. Every time we talk to him, "Daddy, remember the things that we're talking about and the things that we're desiring? Your word to live and to bless and to forgive people." That's what we want to do together. You know, I don't have any time out with him. Isn't that awesome? So we need to love ourselves. We have to be at peace with the past. We have to be content with our present and sure of our future. And none of us have any doubt about our future because we know we have the hope of Christ's return. We know we have eternal life. We have that spirit. That's our guarantee. So be at peace with your past, content with your present, and sure of your future. Because the past has been, all the mistakes have been wiped away. So they can't haunt you anymore. No shame, no gain there. So we have to love ourselves before we can love one another. And that's one of the reasons I played that Flawless. I thought that was just a great song. We are flawless. In God's eyes, we are lily white. Can you put up Psalm 139:17? Let's see. It's a little small, but hopefully you can see this. But the New Living Translation says, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me." So many times we think, we call out, "God, God, can you hear me?" Of course he can. He's right here. The other day I was journaling, and I write down my prayers, and I write down what the Father says. And the last line that he said is, "I love you, my child, every nanosecond of the day." And I thought, okay, what's a nanosecond? So I got my phone out and Googled, and a nanosecond is 1/1,000,000,000th of a second. You can say God loves you every second. Well, he loves you every 1/1,000,000,000th of a second. So I think that's pretty much endless. He's thinking about us. He loves us every nanosecond of the day. Isn't that amazing? So why should we ever think that he is disappointed in us? That's just a deceit of the adversary. So don't do that. We can't do that. Because we're so important to each other that we have to be there to encourage each other. Romans 8 says, "There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." And that's who we are, in Christ Jesus. So no condemnation, no blame, no guilt. We are justified as if we never sinned. Just as if we never sinned. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. If God be for you, who can be against you? No one. That's who we are. Isn't that wonderful? So when we do need some time out with the Father, and not that we need it from the Father, but from our own actions, I should say, we have 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, we're going to look at the fellowship that we have. So he never wants time out with us, and he can't have time out with us because he chose to dwell in us. But we, in our mental capacity, say, "I need a break." It says, verse 7 says, of 1 John chapter 1, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." So this sin isn't that sin of eternal life. This is a broken fellowship. It's like if my child were to do something wrong and it offended me, he probably would not come back immediately and say, "Hey, Mom, can I have an ice cream?" He might feel like I need a little time to calm things down. Well, it's broken fellowship. And it just means that if you disobey, then what naturally we would do is we'd kind of run away. But what we want to do is say, "Father, I'm sorry. That's all it's all about." And we all do it. You know, we might have a thought. We might just say, "I'm doing it my way." You know, Jesus only did the Father's will. He always listened to the Father. And that's our example. But we're going to break fellowship at times. We do it with each other. So we're not perfect. that we have all the ways to make ourselves blessed and in his eyes. If you look at, it says that condemnation is a big thing that will put us in time out. And there's no condemnation. We're not allowed to have it. He even says, we're not even allowed to worry. He says, be anxious for nothing. I love that. I used to always worry about things. They used to call me the worry wart. But yeah, I'm not allowed to worry anymore. I put my trust and confidence in him and in his word. It is true. It's faithful. And you know, when he thinks about us so much, what should we do to reciprocate? Think about him all the time, right? If his thoughts are always towards us, we need to think of those things that are good and honest and encouraging, his word. And how do we do that? Well, we have jobs. I'm more busy in retirement than I was working. We're busy. Well, God's provided for us by speaking in tongues. You can multitask with speaking in tongues. I could be talking to you. You could be speaking in tongues right now. You could be driving your car, dancing, surfing, anything you want. We can be thinking about him all the time as well. That's what he wants. And then when we think about him, we understand the love and forgiveness. We don't even have those other thoughts coming our way. Isn't that wonderful? Think about Moses. You know, some really faithful people, but he disobeyed God. There was a time when God told him to do something, and he didn't do it exactly, and he couldn't get into the promised land. But he is known in the Word, says it, yet he knew God face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. King David had a man killed to get his wife, and he repented. He asked for forgiveness, and he wrote many of the great Psalms, turning his heart to the Father, and he was a man after God's own heart. Judas was overcome with guilt and killed himself. There's choices we can have. Do we want to stay in the hurt, or do we want to be forgiven? Because we all stumble and fall. It's like the song. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. He had, that could have been really tough, because that was a very emotional time. The adversary could have hurt him just like he did Judas. And yet, we find him in Acts chapter 2. He was there at the day of Pentecost, received the Holy Spirit, and saved over 3,000 souls that day. Because he saw he had that spirit. He knew he was forgiven. He chose that. Apostle Paul persecuted the church. He had a bad reputation. And then the Christians who were afraid of him, they had to embrace him. Because he was now Brother Paul. He could have hidden under his shame. But what did he do? He became the great apostle, wrote the church epistles under house arrest. Wow. And one of the things he said was very important is, I speak in tongues more than y'all. That's how he got through it all. Because he had that wonderful fellowship with the Father. So is there anything that you can't forgive yourself for? No, God is forgiven and forgotten. Even at the Bema, when we're going to be rewarded for the good things, the good works that we've done, nothing's going to be said about the bad things. That's something. Do not allow any regret in your heart. Love yourself, forgive yourself, and love God and your enemy. Love God, your enemy, and your neighbors as yourself. Let's make friends from our enemies. Okay. How about, could you put up Psalm 86? Wait a minute. It says, for you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive our sins, sending them away, letting them go completely and forever. And you are abundant in mercy and loving kindness to all those who call upon you. Isn't that wonderful? Sending them away, letting them go completely and forever. Just like in a bonfire, you put some wood in and eventually, poof, it's all gone. You have ashes after. Wow. He's so loving and kind. His mercy is always to those that call upon him. He's ready to forgive. And I want to look at, close in Luke chapter 15. And that's the parable of the forgiving father. But I want to look at the parable in the light of the prodigal son and what his heart goes through in this process of being forgiven. Luke chapter 15, we know that the son wants his inheritance now, which is basically saying, Father, I can't wait for you to die. I want your money now because I don't want to be around you anymore. Can you imagine the father? The father, first of all, he has to realize, can I live without that? And then he has to also realize, and the loving father, and God is this example, is that he had freedom of will. He couldn't hold his son there. He had to allow him to go. But the wise father knew that unconditional love always prevails over evil. So we know that the son took his inheritance and he went and hit rock bottom. He blew it all. He hit rock bottom and a famine came and he had nothing to survive with. So he had a choice to die in pride or return to his loving father and ask for forgiveness. So let's look at Luke 15:18. So he decides to, he's thinking about it, and so he's thinking about this, what he's going to say to his father. So verse 18 says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. So he's preparing his speech. He's going to declare his sin. Verse 19, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. So he no longer saw himself worthy to be a son. So he was willing to come back and have his needs met as a servant. So he had that unforgiveness, and he didn't know that he could be forgiven at this point. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know, to the son's great surprise, he was thinking he was just going to roll into town on his knees and beg, knock on the door and see if his father even answers the door. And yet the father comes running down, and it says that he kissed him fervently in the Amplified. He just was there, such great compassion. And not only did he come, but his servants. He said, quickly, get. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, quickly bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. He wanted to remind him, to let him know that he still was a son. And he didn't even have to say, I want to be your servant. He could not lose that sonship. We cannot lose that relationship with our Heavenly Father. And people need to see that our salvation is not dependent on our behavior. You can certainly act like the devil and be born again. That's your choice. But once you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you are born again. You have incorruptible seed. It cannot be taken away. This son had, he was the son of his father. That's why God, it's so important that we understand God is our father. We are his children. Seed. It can't be taken away. So his father surprised him by coming and running and kissing him. And verse 23, and it says, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And then he has a party. Here I come back. I'm thinking I'm going to just kind of slip in the back door. And if he lets me, I'll go in the servants' quarters. But he has a feast, has a party. You know, it is It so blesses our Father's heart when we come turn back to Him and say, "I'm sorry. He knows our potential. He has a plan for our lives. He chose us, handpicked each one of us. We're very special to Him, and He has a plan for each one of us." So don't underestimate His love. Then you will see forgiveness. And then we know this: the older son, who, according to that culture, having two sons, he would get two-thirds of the inheritance. So the older son was concerned about his inheritance too. He will always have what the father had provided for him, but he needed to rejoice for his brother as well. Forgiveness is a choice that takes courage and strength, and it gives us the opportunity to become an overcomer rather than remaining a victim of our scorn. Forgive yourself and let the healing begin. Keep your thoughts on your Heavenly Father and who you are in Christ Jesus, and you will enjoy the peace that passes all understanding. So I'd like kind of a call to action today is take the time today to sit down with your Heavenly Father and ask for forgiveness, encouragement, to remove any fear or doubt or discouragement or regret from your past or what's going on now. Because we need to keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming back, our Redeemer, our Lord, our Savior. And we don't have time to live in regret or shame, but live in love and forgiveness. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your tremendous word that you are so eager and ready to remind us every moment of the day, every nanosecond of the day, of your love, of your forgiveness, of your faithfulness. I thank you that each one of us can receive that in our hearts and be greater lovers, greater forgivers, greater givers, and that we can represent your Son to this world, for you so loved that you gave your Son that we could have this eternal life. And that eternal life is that tremendous relationship with you and with your Son. So I thank you for loving each and every one of us. I thank you for healing for everyone here from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. I thank you for great peace in our hearts. And I thank you that you have someone this week that we can work with, that we can love, that we can encourage, that we can love ourselves even bigger than ever before. Surprise us, Father, what your word can do to heal us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Mm-hmm.